Welcome to the Tales of the Long Box podcast. This is episode 280. That's right, 280. Spotlight on Marvel Comics Inhumans versus X-Men number one, circa 2017. I am Chris Mosby.
2017. Okay, I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox. We're 2017 already?
Well, that's wow. The publication date they put on it anyway.
I actually signed something 2017 last night. That was, I don't know why. I
okay.
Got everything else in the date right, but for some reason I put 17 instead of 16.
Already?
I know. Normally I'd go the other direction.
What?
It's freaky, man.
It is freaky. Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I was at the movie theater at 9 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Oh wow! If I could have got out, I would have done that. But you know, my sister decided that she just had to see her boyfriend, so I had to. I left long enough to get a massage, but that's as far as I got. So I'm going to go here shortly.
I took my daughters to go see Rogue One. We went to one of those theaters where they serve you during the movie. You know, they come out and with the drinks and stuff. And it's like something out of like Hellfire Club or something like that, where the servers come out and they're all squatted down the whole time. And you can see them kind of hunchbacked over as they try not block people's view as they're running along with their drinks and their food stuff.
That would be stressful, I would think.
You know, and it kind of sucked because I'm used to, if I need a soda or popcorn, I run out. It takes me 5 minutes at the most to run out there, grab my replacement or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe I miss a couple minutes of the movie. But this one, you have to wait for them to come and take your little order, and then they run off and get it, and you just have no idea when they're going to get back with it. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll go back. And the seats weren't that comfortable. We've become very spoiled with those recliner seats.
Oh, well, yeah, I would imagine. So that's weird.
But the movie is really good. I will as soon as it becomes I may see if Amazon's got it for pre-order, because I think I'm going to buy a Blu-ray of that as soon as it hits the shelves. Much better prequel than the prequels.
Oh yeah, I don't have any doubt about that at all. I really don't.
And it is, this movie has all the little Easter egg stuff that you would want from a prequel.
Well, good. I'm glad.
You go, oh my god! And constantly, I was hearing people throughout the whole movie going, oh, "No shit! Wow, cool! Look at that! Whoa! Hey, it's him! It's her! It's them! It's that person and that thing
and that thing and that stuff."
It did have things and stuff that you're like, "Hey, I know that thing and stuff from other movies."
Weird.
Trying to think if there was anything from the postquels, the epilogue stuff. There's not.
Okay. Well, all right then.
Apparently there's stuff from the cartoons, though, and there's stuff from the video games that are referenced. So.
Yeah, the cartoons are one of the few things that are canon. So now they uncanonized a lot of the books. But
it's your type.
Thank you.
But
go see it, Murray. Go now.
All right, I will go right now.
Forget the podcast. Go.
Be gone. Okay. We'll wait.
All right. So, Inhumans versus X-Men, numero uno, with a cool confrontation cover that is standard comic book fare.
Yes, with never all before the, done.
That's right. Never seen this before, where we have a bunch of Inhumans who most people have no idea who half of these people are.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all new humans, N-U humans.
All new.
Yes, that's what they call them in the books. They N-U human, new humans.
Is that what they call them? Okay.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Isn't that cute?
It is adorable. And no. Or he just slips in the no. I think it's cool that they put Ms. Marvel in there, though. I think that's a nice touch.
She
is probably the most prominent of the
That's the question new, number one. question number one.
Okay.
You go to the page where they tell who's who.
Yeah.
And she's got a mask on, but they're calling her Jean Grey. So
hold on. Jumping ahead. Hold on.
We'll come back to that. I mean,
all right.
Yeah. So she's there with a mask, but they call her Jean Grey.
Hold on. No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. Coffee, no, I got. Don't. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong side.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
We'll come back. That's like five pages in.
Okay, fine. Fine. Okay, fine.
Keep your ADHD in check. All right.
Okay, sorry.
So,
my bad.
All right, so we open on the gravestone of Scott Summers, Cyclops. That's a funny last name. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. he was a teacher, a warrior, a hero, and a mutant. He fought for us. And the Beast is, this is on Muir Island, and the Beast is talking to his dead friend, and he's saying, oh yes, my old friend, you fought harder than any of us, even harder than Charles, meaning Charles Xavier, for those who do not know.
Yeah.
And now here you are at the end. I wonder, was it worth it? And he rambles a little more, and we pull back, and there's the gravestone of Jamie Madrox, the multiple man, and the Beast is finally acknowledging the fact that he is an atheist or agnostic. He says, what the hell are you doing, Hank? He's dead, you idiot, as he walks away. And there's probably the coolest panel in the whole book, right there, as he walks away from the Madrox grave, and there's a bunch of other little graves next to the main gravestone.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch that, but yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, because...
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All the dead dupes. I think that was a great touch.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
What?
No, I was thinking it was something else, but that makes sense. It's the dupes of Jamie. So.
Yep. The Dupes of Jamie. It's the sequel to Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. So he goes into the main building of Muir Island, and he's confronted by all the prominent members of the various X teams. We got Magneto, Forge, Young Beast, White Witch, Frost.
What? White Witch.
What did I say? White Witch. I'm sorry. White Queen.
Totally different comic.
Sort of, but she wears black now too. So, yeah. Or
you
did
know, they
last
really
time we
should,
saw her.
They really should make a Legion podcast. You know, somebody should do that.
I've heard someone did someone. It, I don't know. At some point in the past, there's Rogue, Storm, showing lots of belly button, yeah. And Old Man Logan also there, and Young Beast is admonishing. The Old Beast for being late, and everyone's picking on him for being late, and Emma say don't banter, and Rogue says, considering how absent you've been in everything else we've been dealing with lately, I'm just glad to even be at this table if I were you, Emma. So Rogue is being snarky, and Storm is being snarky, and they're talking. Storm, Hank says, Storm, I seriously doubt there is anything more important than what I'm about to tell you. And Old Man Logan says, the Terrigen Mist is killing us, and we all have half dozen other crises on our plates. Out with it, Furball. Whatever you've got, things can't get much worse. And Hank says, I have learned to never, ever utter that phrase,
yeah.
Logan.
Yeah, that's what I said when I had plumbing trouble, and it went from $400 to $5,500.
At least it's not raining.
Yeah,
oh.
Exactly. Oh, crap. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, as we covered in the last podcast when we were looking at issue zero, he took 8 months to determine that the original the remaining Terrigen cloud is dissipating, but it was alluded to that it was kind of just going away, but he is confirming here that it is now becoming part of the atmosphere, and he's saying, I failed, we're out of time, and I skipped a page, and we go back a page, come on. Hello, reader. 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 Okay.
Ow. Sorry.
Reader freaking out here. Bear with me here, guys. Okay. And we get the title page, Inhumans versus X-Men, written by Charles Soule and Jeff Lemire, drawn by Lena Francis Yu, inked by Jerry... Oh boy, Alan Gwulin, Alan Gwulin, colored by David Curiel, inked by BC, a bunch of variant covers. I would like to see the Roquefort one. I've got to dig that one up.
Yeah, I've only found the one, but I mean, I'm sure they'll pop up in my resources eventually.
Eventually. And a bunch of, I want to see the Roquefort one, and I want to see the Dodson one. I bet the Dodson one is beautiful.
Yes, I bet it is.
And a quick recap. When the Terrigen Mist, the catalyst that grants Inhumans their powers, were discovered to be poisonous to mutants, veteran X-Men Cyclops and Emma Frost rallied their mutant brothers and sisters to destroy the Terrigen Cloud circling the Earth. Though they succeeded in eradicating half of the Terrigen, their crusade was cut short when Black Bolt, the king of the Inhumans, actually, it should be listed as the former king of the Inhumans, killed Cyclops on the field of battle. Having both suffered losses, the X-Men and human leaders agreed to a truce, allowing mutant scientist Dr. Henry McCoy, a.k.a. Beast, to seek a means of peacefully preserving the futures of both people. But now it seems the time for a truce has come to an end. And the teams on the left side, the Inhumans, Medusa, Black Bolt, Karnak, Human Torch, not technically an Inhuman, Crystal, Gorgon, Inferno, Iso, Swain, Flagman, Ms. Marvel, and Lockjaw. And on the right, the X-Men, Beast, Storm, Magneto, Old Man Logan, Emma Frost, Rogue, Forge, Young Beast, Jean Grey, and Phantomex.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, but on the left, they've got Ms. Marvel there next to Lockjaw, Chris.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Thank you. I tried.
But, still, she's got a mask on.
She does, because the Jean Grey, young Jean Grey wears a mask.
Well, okay, fine. I don't know. If she's going to wear a mask, it's like everybody's like in battle. Well, of course, telepathy. Okay, never mind. It just seems kind of silly for her. She doesn't have a code name, and then, you know. But anyway, go ahead.
She's not that Jean Grey. She's the other Jean Grey.
I know she's that.
She's not the Jean Grey you know. These are not the droids you're looking for, Chris.
I understand that. I understand that, sir.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. I didn't even think of the Ms. Marvel thing, but still, it's. I don't know. Anyway,
it's kind of reflective of like that scene at the end of the Forever Evil miniseries when they pulled the mask off of Dick Grayson. Everyone says who?
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah.
Who's that? Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Well, he never spent any time being Dick Grayson. He was always, you know.
Right. So. But so who's Jean Grey? I mean, there's 7 billion people on the face of the planet.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
If I already yelled Chris Mosby in a crowded room, how many people would go, "Hey"?
More than you think, sir. More than you think.
Probably. I'm clearly not giving you enough credit. My bad.
I'm just giving you shit.
I'm. It's that kind of morning. So yes, we are now at the Quiet Room, which is the club run by Black Bolt.
Okay, that's what I have a question.
Another question. Go for it.
This is about as far as I got because I was so confused when I was just glancing through it. Why is the king of the Inhumans running a nightclub?
Well, he's no longer king of the Inhumans. He quit.
You mentioned that, but of all things... Oh, he advocated, huh? Because of the murder? I mean, killing Cyclops?
No, it was a while ago. It was because of when he released the Terrigen Cloud. Everyone said, hey, that wasn't a very nice thing to do.
Okay.
And you're a bad, bad man, and you got sent to the cornfield or the quiet room.
I would think a nightclub would be a tough spot for him to work. I mean, all that music, tapping your toes, he's got to hum once in a while. Mm. Or maybe he doesn't. He just doesn't.
Maybe he doesn't.
He's got no music in his soul.
He's got the music in him. He's got the music. He's just that good. He doesn't have to talk.
And he's in a tux. I mean, you know.
I'd wear a tux if I had a tux.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, I'll be quiet now.
I've worn a tux one time in my life, and no, twice, and I look really, really good both times. So.
Last time I wore a tux is when I got married, and yeah, I'm still paying for it.
So, it's a packed house of Black Bolts, and we've got a half-naked singer up there with a mask on. Hey, more masks. Singing at the front of the room. And we have Flagman talking to Black Bolt. Don't ask me what Flagman's powers are, because I don't know, but he is an inhuman. And he has flags for hair.
He has Canadian, you know, Canadian dregs. That's what he's got.
You know, Murray, honest to God, if you're ever to cosplay, we have found your costume right there, man.
Yeah, man. You're already dressed for it. A little color is all you need.
You have found your cosplay outfit for the next 20 years.
We don't see it because the panel doesn't show up, but he's also wearing shorts.
sort of relief, actually, says Flagman. I was basically the only one who's going to be talking for the next two panels is Flagman, because Black Bolt cannot talk, because when he talks, when he utters any noise, it is very destructive, and that's how he killed Cyclops, is with a word. Mm-hmm. Just like how White Witch killed all, or not White Witch, Scarlet Witch, Jesus Christ, Scarlet Witch killed all the people.
Got Legion on your mind there?
Yeah, that must be it. Oh, because she's new, Lady Shine, that's what the singer's name is, Lady Shine, she calls herself, came out of nowhere a couple months back, started playing all the hot downtown clubs, and they get interrupted by a waiter who is telling Black Bolt that this VIP wants to talk to him, and Black Bolt says, okay, he doesn't say anything. He just heads back there to talk to the VIP. We switch back to the Beast talking to all the X-heads. And Young Beast says, what do you mean out of time? Is this a time travel thing? And that's some terrible pun? Or I swear I don't care if you are me. It's not time travel. I almost wish it were. Cyclops destroyed the first Terrigen Cloud. Actually, he didn't. That was the young man who gave his life to destroy the Terrigen Cloud, who's... Mm-hmm. Name I'm already blanking on because he was a throwaway character. We've been monitoring it, all doing our part to mitigate the damage to mutant kind. Storm and her team have been active in rescuing mutants and bringing them back to the safe haven at the school in Limbo. Magneto, your team has helped as well, though I can't say I've always agreed with your actions. And Magneto says, as if I need your approval, Henry. The Terrigen has put all mutants in danger. I have done what needed to be done to protect them, and I always will. And Emma says, all very nice, all very helpful, yes, but what I still fail to understand is why we don't just destroy that second cloud, why we don't finish what Scott started. And she yells that last line, by the way. Because we agreed to a truce, says Storm, with the Inhumans, and we honor our word. Our current methods may not be aggressive as you or Magneto might prefer, but they keep our people safe. Oh, please, Storm. You actually think taking mutants to Limbo is any better? Have you been to Limbo? Demons under every rock, and you think it's a safe place to set up a school? And in fact, she proved them right, because they had a big old demon fight the last issue of Extraordinary X-Men? Yeah. And a young lady got killed. Because she got inhabited by a demon, which was kind of sad. Please, everyone, says the Beast, just listen to me. We've all dealt with the crisis in our own way, but none of that matters anymore. Now we must work as one. In recent days, I've noticed an increase in Terrigen saturation levels all over the world, not just in the cloud's wake. Wait, linear or exponential? The bad one, Forge. Uh-oh. Exactly. Very soon, we will reach a tipping point, and the Earth will become completely uninhabitable for mutants. Dun, dun, dun! And we are now in New Adelan, Inhuman stronghold just off the coast of Manhattan. Just look at all of you. You look wonderful. You look ready. I am sorry for holding you up, but I like to see all the children before they go through pterogenesis. And that's Medusa with quite the McFarlane hairdo going
yes,
on there.
Yes, that's quite something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I thought this was a creepy scene. I mean, it's not really. I mean, I guess, but it feels creepy to me. I mean, it's not. It's just, it's coming of age, blah, 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 go to communion or whatever, but... Ugh.
It is communion. Right, it is totally communion.
Mm. Okay. Which is fine. Like, I mean, it's... There's no creepy vibes there. It just felt creepy.
No, I... Go ahead. No.
Do these kids have any choice?
I don't think so. I don't know. No, they do not. They must become freaks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I remember reading, because I remember getting all those Marvel Universe Encyclopedia comics that came out, handbooks, and if I remember correctly, this was only done for the royal family, but now they do it to everybody. Is that right?
And that's been a while. Yeah, and that's where the new...
When they started that whole inhuman craze and tried to make them replace mutants, I mean, seriously, that's what how I observe it, is they couldn't control the X-Men, so we'll just do this and instead, and the whole thing with releasing the clouds.
If you go back and there was that really cool Inhumans miniseries. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was or who drew it. Oh my god, it was awesome!
Paul Jenkins one from years ago. Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee.
Oh yeah, it was Jay Lee. Right. Yes. There were a lot. Everyone was somehow mutated in that, and there was even the lower level ones. They didn't mutate quite right.
Mm-hmm. Seems like I remember that too.
Yeah, that goes back to the Fantastic Four, I think, the original run.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yuck. Yeah. Oh my god, that was.
I just wondered.
And they're saying they're not scared. Okay, they're a little scared. They're and she starts to explain to them with her big hair that children, when we are finished here. Irel, Iso, and Inferno will take you to a transport which will head to the Terrigen Cloud. There you will breathe in its sacredness, and then you will all become something new, and you will learn the true expression of your inhuman self. I remember when it was my turn to enter the mist, I was terrified. I didn't want to change. I liked who I was. Basically, she's saying that she didn't have a choice. And she's still in the middle of her little speech telling them, it's all good! And she gets interrupted by Johnny Storm.
Her lover.
Oh, wait. She's with Medusa now? Boy, he is such a whore.
Yeah, Medusa and Crystal are Eskimo brothers now. So.
Good God almighty. So they still haven't brought them back. Because like, he's in Inhumans and things with the Guardians. And I don't remember where the other two are.
Well, we haven't seen them.
Okay.
They're dead. Actually, Johnny Storm is not only with the Inhumans, he's also with the Avengers.
Well, of course he is.
Yes. And the Thing has moved on.
Shield now? Guardians.
Yes. Mm. Post-Secret Wars 2. We don't know how that happened, but he is now a Shield agent.
Okay.
Going after... He's in the... The Invincible Doctor Doom, or not Doctor Doom, the Iron Man, or the Irredeemable Iron Man, or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Well, he would be a very good secret agent, given that he's so subtle and...
Yes, and nobody knows who he is.
However,
so... And after interrupting, he's telling her that something's coming, and we switch back to the scene with the mutants, and... How long, Henry asks Storm. 2 weeks. We have 2 weeks left. Can that be right? Have you double-checked your calculations? Maybe I could, says Forge. Have you told the Inhumans about this? My calculations are correct. And no, I haven't told them yet. I thought I owed it to tell you first. Why are we just hearing about this now? You're trying to tell me none of you geniuses saw this coming, says Rogue in her southern thingamahoosie. And then we get a big...
Not bad southern accent there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Then we get a big bang.
Bang.
And of course it's Magneto saying, my people will not be gassed to death.
That is, yes,
probably the best placed piece of dialogue in comics in a long time. Very cool.
What?
For those who do not know.
The gas to death.
De-aged, re-aged Magneto was in Warsaw and watched his family get dragged off to gas chambers by the Nazis. As shown very visually also in the first X-Men movie.
Yes.
And maybe in one of the later X-Men movies too, as they retold the story. Mm-hmm. And a little argument between Old Beast and Magneto. Tell me your solution, McCoy. You always have something. End the drama and tell us what we need to do. You weren't listening, Eric. There are no solutions. There are choices, but no solutions. We can leave, all of us, we can leave Earth and find somewhere else to start over, or we can die. And by the way, on a side note there, they established, and they've changed it clearly, is that not all mutants die with the exposure to the Terrigen Mist, but I guess now they're saying that, yes, in fact, they do all die. And Magneto says, I think you missed an option, Beast. We can fight.
I agree.
We're in Chechnya now.
So,
and Gorgon, who can walk now, he couldn't walk for a while. He was crippled, but was healed recently. Go ahead.
So, question. Are Inhumans actually humans first? Aren't they like some kind of, weren't they part of something that not the Shi'ar, but the...
Kree.
The Kree, that's right. So they're like, we were here, the mutants were there first, right?
I don't know. I think they planted the Inhuman seed in Cro-Magnons way back in the...
Okay.
A long time ago.
Okay. And, so technically they are... basically offshoots of the human race, both of them.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. I was going to say.
There's room for everybody. Don't you worry.
You would think that.
Yeah, well, they have to continue the... there you go. So,
yeah.
Gorgon is rescuing somebody, a mutant from the Terrigen Cloud, which is rolling in off the coast of Chechnya. He's in a burnt out building, knocking down walls, finding the homeless looking guy. We can't leave until we get them out of the cloud's path.
Did you notice the bear sitting in front of the TV? It's got an eye patch.
No.
Second panel. Look under his arm, his right arm.
Huh. He's wearing an eye patch.
Yeah, kind of like Nick Fury. I don't know why that's there, but it looks, you know, it's kind of interesting. Anyway,
I think he was filling panel space, but maybe it will come back. The bear. Mm-hmm.
The bear is a mutant. Oh, sorry, no.
That's right.
What was that?
And he rescues the homeless looking guy, and he brings it back to the Riv, and which is the Royal Inhuman Vessel. And for your education, Marie, they have made Gorgon smart. Remember, he used to be the dummy of the Inhumans. He is no longer the dummy. He's an engineering genius.
Wow.
He's the Scotty
in the world.
Yes. Mm. He's Mr. Scott now. So we're back to the X-Men again. Fight Magneto, you think we should attack the Inhumans? I have beaten them before. You're insane. Logan says, you said our other choices are abandoning Earth or lying down to die. Sounds like all we got is crazy. Look, Cyclops brought us to the brink of war with the Inhumans once, and he died. Yes, Henry, says Emma. I was there, and he didn't just die. He died trying to save us. He died when he destroyed the first cloud. How much faster would we have reached this Terrigen tipping point of yours if he hadn't. We are all alive today because of Scott Summers. And blah, blah, blah. And he's seen the battle plans because he knows the Inhumans are ready for the mutants if they would decide to attack. And Emma says, oh, you poor furry, naive man. So are we. Should I tell him now? Tell me what, says Henry. Go ahead, Emma. Honestly, I'm surprised you waited this long. You've been working on an answer with the Inhumans for 8 months, Henry. But we've been working too, obviously. I think we all wanted you to succeed. A peaceful solution really would have been preferable, but there was always a chance that you would fail. I suppose you would call it a warlike solution. They came up with an alternative, and Rogue is like, what? Who's this we you keep talking about? I don't know anything about this.
You got a mouse in your pocket? Sorry.
What?
Never mind. I heard it on a movie once. Who's this we you talking about? You got a mouse in your pocket?
I have no idea what movie that is.
I have no idea, but it always stuck in my mind for some reason.
Those vague little quotes that people pull out.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, that'll be useful later. I'm sure it will.
Hey, how is her shirt staying on back at the top panel? Anybody have any idea?
Oh, Emma's?
Yeah.
Top panel?
No idea. Double-sided tape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The good same Lord.
Yeah, burlesque dancers use that stuff, you know.
Just have, like, steel nipples to hold those things up. I have no idea.
Yep. That's got to be it.
And Emma's revealing that some of these mutants here have a plan, while others were not let in on it because they're too pure. And now we're back. Now we're at the Tower of Wisdom, which is where Karnak hangs out and does his mojo stuff in his series. Which, by the way, if you're not reading it, do. Warren Ellis is knocking it out of the park in that book.
I'll have to check it out.
And there's a voiceover. She says it all begins with Karnak. He sets his flaws, which means he's probably already seen that this current mutant and human truce is bound to fail. And he's meditating with his big head. And somebody walks up to him and says, Master, I'm sorry to disturb your meditation, but someone is here to see me. A mutant, yes. But how did you... Oh, should I send her away? No. Bring her to me. And now we're back to Emma revealing the plan. Once he's dealt with, we'll handle the other Inhuman power centers. Medusa in the New Adelon, her sister Crystal and her team, as well as that ugly ship they fly around in. And of course, that monster Black Bolt. He killed Scott. He is mine. Wait, says Young Beast. When you say handle, do you mean handle or just, you know, handle? Magneto says, no one will die, at least as we have things planned thus far. Of course, if some Inhumans refuse to accept the inevitable, then they will have to be handled. And Emma continues, once the Inhumans are subdued and leaderless, they won't be able to prevent us from destroying the remaining Terrigen Cloud. Forge?
Not overconfident at all about that, are they?
No, she's always lacked confidence. I always noticed that about her. This is a new trait for her. And she's totally different.
Anyway, go ahead.
And Forge says, sure, I designed a machine that should... Wait. And Old Beast is saying, are you three really foolish enough to think it would be that simple to neutralize Medusa and the others? These are some of the most powerful people on the planet. Black Bolt alone. Storm, surely you can't be on board with this lunacy. And she starts to say, Henry, enough, interrupts Emma. We know how powerful Black Bolt is. We saw it when he murdered my love in cold blood. Don't worry, Henry. We spent a great deal of time thinking about how we would take care of each of them. And unlike you, we will not fail. And Old Man Logan, you're forgetting something. The dog. Inhumans have a teleporting dog, right? Big, huge thing, I remember. Lets them show up anywhere, like a walking security breach. Could spoil a lot of plans. Don't care how good they are. And she says, actually, I can't believe we overlooked that. And he says, I ain't here. I ain't just at this meeting for my good looks, darling. Well spotted, Logan. All right.
Okay, so what else have they missed?
Exactly. That's a good point. And now we're in New Jersey. And by the way, Lockjaw is the dog they're referring to. And Lockjaw is a supporting character currently in the Ms. Marvel book.
Didn't they say once that he wasn't really a dog? He was turned into a dog-like creature and he's actually intelligent? Or did they retcon that?
I think they've forgotten all about that part.
Because it seems like I read that and that's like, interesting. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he was person or person on person. I don't know, whatever, but he is very dog-like. Now, as we see from this scene when Ms. Marvel is casually walking in her costume with the giant dog through a neighborhood in New Jersey, and not that we see any other people, but my guess is they're not reacting in the least bit, which I would. The dog disappears. That's what the dog does. It's kind of his thing, as it says right there in the panel. In that very Alan Davis looking panel on the bottom right.
Yeah, that is very Alan Davis like. That's weird.
That's even an Alan Davis kind of mask. And back to the mutants. You can't do this. Why not, Henry? We have a solution that will enable mutant kind to survive on this planet. Our home planet. Why do the humans have more of a right to it than we do? It's not the point, Emma. We can survive the cloud. We just have to leave. But if we attack the Inhumans, they will do everything they can to destroy us. You don't know what they're truly capable of. You haven't seen it. I watched Black Bolt vaporize his own son when he thought he was a threat to his people. And I watched him kill Scott. Sorry.
Yeah, she's and really Storm hammering that, man.
Yeah. I always thought she was...
The seventh or eighth time?
Well, I always thought she was just playing him, but she really did love him.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest shock from this, is how much really cared for him.
And they are neglecting to re-emphasize the fact that he wasn't killed by being vaporized. And she's kind of lost her mind a little bit here.
Yeah, that was I realized that was a mental construct, but I mean, the mist did kill him from what you were saying, though, right?
Yes. Storm says, enough. We need to take emotion out of this. This gathering represents the major mutant groups left on the planet. We can take care. We can make a decision here for our people. We've heard both sides. Now we vote. We look at both sides now, up and down. And vote Logan, of course. This ain't up for debate anymore. Let's get rid of the damn thing. Talking about the cloud. I'm just basically saying, so the worst case scenario for the Inhumans is they don't get their superpowers. And Rogue says, damn it, I don't want to live on Mars or whatever. I don't. But an attack against people who never did us any harm? And she says, I can't. I vote no. And Forge says,
a rogue-y.
She's the boss. And Forge says, well, he doesn't care either way. You know, he just wants to see if his little toy works. But if he has to leave the planet, no big deal. I don't remember that. Anybody help me out here?
So what now?
He says, I've lived off planet before. It's not so bad. When was that?
Wasn't he part of the Starjammers for a while?
I do not know.
I really don't know either. I didn't even think he was still around, to tell you the truth, until I saw him in the thing. Okay, well, I will look it up while you're...
I mean, it's not a big deal.
Well, now you got me curious.
I know he lived in another dimension. Maybe that's what he's referring to.
He lived in another... See, I didn't even know that.
Maybe all he right did. Then. Hey, anyhow, so Young B says, take out the cloud. It's only logical move. I'll make sure my team comes along, too. Unlike my older counterpart, they still trust me. Dig it
now,
in there.
Why is he doing that? What the heck?
Because he is still pissed about the fact that the Beast was screwing around with time. He thinks what
I agree.
Beast was a stupid, stupid thing. And Storm says we already know how Emma and Magneto will vote. We have one against, one abstention. And that's it. Then the majority votes to destroy the cloud. This really doesn't seem like a majority rules kind of decision, but
no.
All right, McCoy, it's happening. You could help, you know. You have unique access to New Adeline. They trust you. You could... Shut up, Eric. You think you are saving us? But I am telling you are killing us. I don't care how prepared you are. If you attack the Inhumans, we are all doomed. We are destroying our species as surely as the Terrigen would. And he stomps off.
Okay, I got your
right about. Let me finish this page. Bro.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right about
I'm
one sorry. Thing. I have access to New Adeline, and that's exactly where I'm going now. And I will have no part. And he gets cracked by a lightning bolt from behind. Aurora, why? I'm so sorry, Henry. The plan Emma and Magneto made, it was my plan too. We need to get Beast some medical attention. As for the rest of us, it's time. Okay, go for it.
There was a storyline called Ghost Box. It says, when the X-Men fly to his complex on Wundagore Mountain to confront him about his apparent role in an interdimensional invasion of Earth, after following a trail of mysteriously genetically created mutants and death, the X-Men track Forge down, who through a monologue reveal his true madness. He wants to save the world from the annexation and invasion from a parallel world on the other side of the Ghost Box, the transdimensional teleporter. So I guess he was in a parallel universe, not necessarily off-planet, but still the same. I guess the same thing. So he stayed, I guess, after the thing was over, they offered for him to come back, and he stayed there on that parallel universe. And then it says, and all of a sudden, in that Cable in the X-Force series, he's just, like, back, and they don't understand, they don't explain why, but that's where he's, but he was cured of his insanity during that series.
Aren't they all?
Yes. So anyway, there you go. Sorry about that.
No, no, it's okay. I was curious. I asked. Yeah. That was me. I could assume. So we're back at the Quiet Room, and Black Bolt is meeting with that VIP that was mentioned a while ago. And he walks in, and it's Emma Frost in another impossible outfit. And she's holding a glass of wine. She says, let's chat. And they don't really chat because he's not a chatter. And sits there quiet after a silent panel. She says, okay, perhaps I'll do the talking. You seem tense. I wonder why that could possibly be. Don't worry. We're under truce. Your people and mine. I'm sure you remember when that happened, why it happened. And even if we weren't, why this is the Quiet Room, neutral ground. All grievances are set aside under Black Bolt's roof. No one starts a fight here. They know better. Big, bad Black Bolt keeping the peace, a walking atomic bomb. If anything starts, you end it. And she's getting all cozy with him, and he's looking, like, down at her breasts.
How can you not looking. Know?
I can't help it. There's dialogue on this page? Wait, oh, yes, there is.
Yes, dialogue.
And she's touching his little tuning fork on his forehead. But that only works as long as no one ends you right. Yeah, ouch. Hey, man, your hands are cold.
Dude.
And there's a knock on the door, and in walks the singer, Miss Shine, Lady Shine. And Emma says, I trust your performance well. Yeah, fun gig. I was sorry to miss the show. You're so good with sound. You seem puzzled, Black Bolt. Let me make it very clear. Our truce is over. And she crystals up, as she did in the Number Zero issue. And Lady Shine pulls out a gun to shoot Black Bolt. And he, I don't know, he does something with his voice at Lady says, Shine.
Don't or no.
I wonder if Tyrock is his cousin.
Oh, there it is. You're right. Right in the middle of his mouth. Uh-huh. Don't.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's kind of don't, and it sent out a big sound wave at her. And Lady Shine, whose mask in one panel was shattering, and the next panel it's in fully formed. Whoa, that was bracing. I think that was even worse than the last time you hit me with that voice of yours. And he's like, he's staring at her. He's gritting his teeth. What the?
Yeah, because the last time I saw Dazzler, she was working for S.H.I.E.L.D., and everybody thought she was a traitor, right?
Yep. And then Emma hits him in the trachea, and it turns out that Lady Shine is Dazzler. Good move. She absorbs sound.
Yeah, it turns it into light. Yeah, so that's awesome.
And then she besorges him with a rainbow, and he is out.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah,
I thought agree. It was too.
I didn't even see it coming, because when they did the Lady Shine, I thought, oh, that just seems like a cheap Dazzler knockoff, huh?
But then I didn't make the connection that it actually really was Dazzler till they did the reveal.
Did she?
This was.
Wait a minute. She okay? She blah blah blah. He Dazzler didn't hit him yet. Emma hit him with her diamond hard fist and probably broke his jaw. That's why she's saying, "Go ahead, Dazzler. He can't say a word. His jaw's probably broken with that crack." That's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong. And then Dazzler nails him.
Yes.
Okay.
And they've changed Dazzler's look for the 7th or 20th time in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
I liked how she was looking in A-Force. I kind of like that.
Oh, I never saw that.
The punk rock look that she was sporting for a while there. She had gotten captured for the umpteenth time and was pissed off and got all emo.
They never do know what to do with her, do they?
Well, she's remember, she was created, you know, as a reflection of the disco scene, so she's kind of always trying to keep up with the latest trend in music, whatever it might be, and it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And
I remember the time when she was part of the X-Men when they were in Australia.
Yeah, when she was hanging out with Longshot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we switch scenes again. We've got Jean Grey, the masked Jean Grey. Don't know why, as you noted. And she's confronting Karnak. And he says, "Well, I was expecting them to send someone, not you, Miss Grey." "No? What did you expect?" "I thought they would send one of the warriors, Logan, maybe." "My feelings are hurt, Karnak. I've always considered myself a warrior," she says. "You are a child, and you are out of your depth, Miss Grey. Perhaps if you'd snuck up on..." Wait, that's odd. Deja vu. And he's looking around. "That's because this is the 4th time we've had this same conversation. I actually arrived 6 hours ago." Mm. Also, very clever, by the way.
Yeah.
These are all very clever ways of taking them. This is like that when Mark Waid took out all the Justice Leaguers.
Oh, that's one of my favorite Batman stories. Tower of Babel.
So basically, she's got him stuck in his own head, which he'll figure, and he says, "I will get out of this, you know, Miss Grey." "I know, but by then, it will be too late." Again, very clever. So she's basically making him stuck in his head, and he'll figure out the flaw in that, which is that's his superpower. Mm-hmm. And we jump back to Chechnya, where they've got that old guy who... For some reason they let him just stay robed the whole time. That's just really idiotic. And
if we're gonna rescue you, you must take off all your clothes.
Yeah.
We only rescue naked people.
That's right. Well, they should at least have him put down his hood. I don't know. That's just me. And they brought the old guy, the old mutant that they rescued from the Chechenian ruins up to the ship. And it turns out it is Magneto. He came in Trojan horse-like. And he takes apart the Riv. Boop. Boop. And he captures all of them in little remnants of the Riv, wrapping them up in metal. Which, I would think he'd want to make some of them unconscious, but...
We still got some panels left, so...
He says, "No one saves me." And while we're on the subject, "You don't save mutants, I do." Which, I don't know. If he really cared about his people, whoever. And we switch back to Jersey City, and Lockjaw is sound asleep in an alley with a steak in his mouth. And someone walks up, "Just everything I do for these people, everything I can do for these people." And it's, "Oh, Phantom Max, you go after the dog." And... yeah, I was probably doing as bad a French accent as Phantom Max himself does.
That was French. Okie dokie.
Oh, shut up.
I figured it was like Italian or European.
It was Italian. It was Italian. He's a Phantom Max. He comes in, he gives him the steak. "Oh, you like the steak. You know you like the steak."
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Dear.
All right, and they go, and he drugged Lockjaw by putting tranquilizers in the steak. That's actually very clever. Again,
yeah, it is.
Clever way to do it. And we're back in New Adelan, and Johnny Storm and Medusa are staring off at the sunset behind Manhattan. And she's in, and Medusa's saying, "Those fools." And Medusa's telling her people to get all the non-combatants underground, which is really weird because they're floating in the middle of the river. So I don't know how underground they can go, but she sends them down and gets the combatant, the inhumans who can do combat out. And she tells her lover, Johnny Storm, "You don't have to do this. This isn't your fight. You should leave." "That's one idea, Medusa. Here's another." And he flames on. And he stands so close to her. How is her hair not catching on fire? Have you ever smelled bird hair before?
It's not good. I'll tell you that.
And he says, "So what now?" "As far as I know," she says, "the truth still holds. If they're here to talk, we'll talk. And if they're not, then Johnny, we fight." And in come a bunch of X-Men, including we got Sunfire. Oh, hey, look, there's Strong Guy.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised to see him.
Now, who is that behind Strong Guy? Is that Old Man Logan?
Let me look. Strong Guy.
I think it is.
Might be, yeah.
And then the only one I don't recognize completely is the one behind the new Wolverine.
Yeah, very, very. You can't make him out very well.
So, but the rest of them, they got both Angels there. They got a couple Icemen. They got Psylocke, M, Colossus, Magic, Storm.
You know, it's funny. Old Man Love. I was reading a while back that very first, when they did the first all-new, all-different X-Men, Sunfire was one of them, and he did one mission, and he's like, "I don't want anything to do with you people after that." And there he is right there. So, interesting.
And we switch back over and we see cover issue 2, and Black Bolt and Medusa are taking on a bunch of X-Men on the cover. And we have our checklist. And we are 2 issues into the 4, 8, 11, 15, 18, the 20-part story.
So I wonder how big those other ones are going to be. Oh, well, those covers kind of show it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, then. That's very reminiscent of that Extraordinary X-Men number 17. That's very reminiscent of Secret Wars, the first Secret Wars. Remember when Magneto, or was it Molecule Dr. Man? Doom. It was Dr. Doom dropped that mountain on top of Hulk, and he was holding it up. Remember that?
They were keeping him angry by teasing him.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't hold it up.
Yeah, you're that's good stuff.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
This
is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'll see how many Red Sky issues are involved here.
Yeah.
But that is... and then they explain there, real quick end cap here. Okay. "For the Inhumans, the Terrigen Mist unlocks their true selves and creates the future for their race. The X-Men, the cloud is poison. It means the extinction of their kind. Leaders of both groups have been working together for months to find a way to coexist, but time has run out. If the cloud remains, the mutant species is terminated. If the cloud is destroyed, the inhuman legacy comes to an end."
Okay.
"Now there is only one option."
Whoa. There's another question. Pardon me.
Good God. What?
What? Why aren't they on the moon anymore?
I don't remember. They settled down outside of Manhattan, though. They dropped their little island. And I don't remember how that happened or why that happened.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever knew. I have no idea if I ever knew.
Well, all right.
But that's where and that's where he released the Terrigen Cloud from, but for whatever reason it split into 2 parts, going east and west or north and south or whatever weird comic book science weather pattern come up with.
Why aren't the humans?
That was a damn clever.
Oh issue. Yeah, I really like that. So I'm searching Google. Why aren't the Inhumans on the moon?
The rent was too high.
That's probably true.
That's right. The watcher kept coming by. He wouldn't fix the plumbing. It was pretty awkward.
I love it. The second entry is on Reddit, and it's from October 2016. It says, "Why are the Inhumans in general such an unlikable a-holes?" Oh, that's funny.
And the answer is,
I'm
none of your fucking business.
Yeah, there's no telling what that is. Okay, here's our whole history here. I'll look through it later.
We tell you we have to kill you.
Oh, wow. Huh. Silent War was the first time. Huh! Wow, there's a whole bunch of stuff going back and forth with them. Son of M, in events of Son of M, Quicksilver stole the Terrigen crystals in an attempt to regain his powers and cure the depowered mutants from M-Day. The theft led a conflict on Genosha between the repowered mutants, whose powers came back as too powerful for their own good, causing their blah, 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 the Inhumans and the U.S. Office of Natural Emergency. Conflict ended with the one confiscating the Terrigen crystals and acted enticed Black Bolt to verbally declare war on the United States. Interesting. And then in 2007, the miniseries Silent War began, with Gorgon launching a first strike on New York. Although the Inhumans do manage to recover the crystals, the episode ends with Maximus again taking control of Atelium. So that's what the city on there. But there's like a bunch of stuff in here. War of Kings had a bunch of crap going on. That's true. There was stuff going on in War of Kings and Realm of Kings. Okay. All kinds of shenanigans, apparently. Okay, I think we
have...
Yes, shenanigans. You know, shenanigans. Comic shenanigans. The best kind. So, that's it for this week.
I want to finish this series, damn it. I want this to be...
We'll cover it. More than willing to. Because I have a feeling I'm going to... may get back into X-Men over this.
Ooh.
Not in humans.
I never really cared for them, you know? I don't know.
Go see Rogue One now.
Okay, I'm going to. I gotta go take a shower first.
Gesundheit.
And dry myself very well, because if I don't dry myself very well, I will become a meat popsicle, because it's very cold outside. It is 5 degrees outside right now.
That sounds very cold. It's a balmy 5 degrees.
I know. I'm going to have to turn the air on, because it was 1 when I got up this morning. Anyway, as always,
and that's Fahrenheit, right? So what would that be Fahrenheit. In Celsius?
Celsius?
Minus
6.
Low.
Minus low.
32 degrees Fahrenheit is 0 Celsius. So
right.
There you go. Carry the 1, do some division, and it's cold.
It's almost 50 degrees here.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's fine, thanks.
That's ideal. That's totally shorts weather. That's tank top weather.
It is. I'm going to run in a little bit here. It'll be very pleasant out there.
There you go. So, as always, you can send an email to podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com.
Tales from Longbox, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and let us know what you think there. So glad to have you back, Murray. He made me laugh.
Yeah.
I almost snorted. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay. And you can join us on Facebook in, you know, conversation there, which has been really light lately. But, hey, I got 2 weeks off. Did I tell you guys that? This is the second day of my 2 weeks off, and it's awesome.
Love
it. Awesome.
Did I mention it's almost 50 degrees here?
Yeah, I did. You did. You did. Thanks. Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And you can also comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there as well. And that is it for this week, as another Marvel Monday in the books.